there's an article here about children and their carbon footprint. And I know I'm going, blah, 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 change it. No, I'm not going to change the subject. You got to listen to this. And here you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. And let's see what this thing says. Clearly, this is the impact of children varies dramatically depending on geography. An American woman who has a baby will generate nearly 7 times the carbon footprint, the evil carbon footprint, of that of a Chinese woman who has a child, the study found. You know why Americans have been blessed over the last couple hundred years? We have had a nation that is completely different than China and the rest of the world. And those who aren't living and prospering too well in America are folks that are, you know, like the dope smokers on the street corner. They're not prospering well. There's a whole lot of dope smokers in Afghanistan and China. They're depraved and they need light. They need to be shown the same light, the truth, the way, the life that many of the founders of this nation knew. And it really changed their life and impacted our entire continent. It's been a good thing. American women will generate nearly 7 times the carbon footprint of that of a Chinese woman who has a child, the study found. The calculations take account of the fact that each child is, in turn, likely to have more children. Uh-oh. And because the calculations derive from the fertility rate, the expected number of children per woman in various countries, the findings focus on women. Although clearly men, Although clearly men participate in the decision to have children. I guess so. Unless you kunk them over the head, yes. In decisions, and they go unconscious, you never know. In discussions about climate change, we tend to focus on the carbon emissions of an individual over his or her lifetime. I guess, is that what your problem? On climate change, you know what they're focusing on? Carbon emissions of human beings. That's part of their problem, said Paul Murtaugh, a professor of statistics. I say it's part of their problem. Mr. Paul Murtaugh, professor of statistics at Oregon State University, in a statement accompanying the studies released. Those are important issues, and it's essential that they should be considered. But he said that an added challenge facing us, listen to this, is the continuing population growth and increasing global consumption of resources. If there were no people, then there would be no consumption of resources. They forget that if there were no people, you wouldn't care about your resources and you would be out of a job and you'd be very lonely. Hopefully you're a good reader, because when all the people are gone, hopefully there'll be libraries left over. And there will be no closing hours. You won't have any. Well, I guess you could just eat off the land. Strange but true. I'm just doing flashbacks to a Rod Serling Twilight Zone episode with Burgess Meredith in it, when he loved to read. And he survived World War III only to have his glasses break after he found a library. It's kind of strange but true. Hey, thank you for calling the Eagle 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Hey, David.
Hi, Mark.
Speaking of Rod Serling, I don't know if you know, I think he was an infantryman in World War II and saw a lot of action, by the way. When he came back, a lot of people either went into the church, or they became writers or painters, or they did different things to deal with the grief that they saw in World War II. I thought you might find that interesting, speaking of Rod Serling.
Yeah, where'd you hear about it?
I think I read that in his something about Rod Serling.
Okay.
Something I looked up about him as to whether, I think something to the fact he's a fellow veteran, and I read that. But you'll see if you look that up that I speak the truth. You know, it's funny, and then you mentioned libraries, and that's why I called your show, because I know you're right now, for whatever reason, not in favor of the health care bill, which is your prerogative as a fellow American. And I respect that, though I disagree. But I thought you might find it interesting that that people wouldn't have public libraries if it basically wasn't for the FDR Democrats. And who got the
Okay, hold on. Mark, explain that.
Well, you know, almost all of your programs, when you, and I'm explaining that, if you look at a person's rearview mirror and you see the cripple tag on their car, or they're able to park up close, or the wheelchair ramp, that was brought by Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, who was a naval aviator and all.
But he wasn't in the FDR administration. You made a statement about the libraries and Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Most of what's left, there isn't really much left out of our social services in our country. At one time, we did have some social services. A lot of it's been privatized. And like, you know, yesterday's show, even though it was a recording, or the day before, was talking about the TSA. The whole thing with the TSA argument was they wanted to privatize it. Just take a guy who was selling shoes 1 week, and next week now he's TSA, essentially, after some, you know, instead of putting veterans to work that know how to treat people professionally in general and how to look for weapons and stuff like that. To answer your question, Dave, about most of what's left of our social services, from, you know, public libraries to, you know, some aspects of the YMCA to Social Security to Medicare, my question to David Alan Carmichael is whether it's public education or the eight-hour workday, and maybe you're not in favor of any of that, and I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't. Who gave the authority to our country in the 30s to make all of what's left of those Social Security or social agencies, you know, food stamps, assistance for housing? I mean, who gave the authority to the citizens back then? I think that a good majority of Americans may have perceived that it was a religious thing, and through the help of FDR, who would have been president 20 years, Dave, until, you know, he passed away in office, and then they had to change the Constitution because he was so popular, he and Eleanor Roosevelt. And, you know, so we don't have really much of social services left, maybe like fire departments and speed limits on highways and the eight-hour workday, but a lot of it's been encroached upon by the corporations. But I would ask Carmichael, David Alan Carmichael, who gave the authority to the citizens back in the 30s to create Social Security or Medicare for our seniors today who inhabit much of Central Florida, who's supposed to be listening to you? Or do you think it was not authority-driven or eligible from a religious standpoint? I think that it is, personally, but you may not. So I'll hang up and listen to your try to explain that. I don't understand. But here's a question for you, Dave, if I give me another second. I listened to your show, and you talked about your settlement from the Navy, with, you know, and you don't really like to talk about it. And you did get a settlement, and you were talking to your friend who had a similar situation and the TSA deal, which was not David Alan Carmichael, but, you know, somebody finally paid your settlement. Was that paid by the citizens, and would that be considered constitutional? Because, I mean, I don't know who paid that for David Alan Carmichael when you didn't, you know, in your own particular case, which I won't mention over the air, but you know, you want us to toe the line as a general population, but if you look at examine your own life, I would imagine the American citizens had to pay your settlement to the lawyers who represented you. So, I mean, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. So I would ask you, please consider your own immediate life and what happened to you recently, and know your heart's in the right place. And then going back to the 30s, where we had all of these social programs, which are really under attack by the corporations, did the citizens then have any moral authority to implement them back to themselves? And many people here in Central Florida are probably listening to this part because they know where Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and food stamps kind of came from, us Democrats, but and the TVA and the 8-hour workday and all that stuff. So if you let me, I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay, I'll let you hang up. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, that was interesting. And yes, just so Mark will know, that was interesting. And I'm going to address some of the statements that he made because they were good. And it took a while. I should have timed it. In fact, I'll find out how long that was later. And he had a good point. He says he actually mentioned a settlement from the Navy. And actually, I've never had a settlement from anybody. And so that's kind of neat. Settlements are kind of like a little contract thing where you make an agreement to have something happen, notwithstanding whether it has any value or function in the law. So what I'll do is I'll probably, to answer his question on that, I think I'll bring it back maybe in the next segment. But I do want to, I'll address Mark after I take a break, and we're going to think about that, and I'm going to make sure that when I come back with the answer to that, it's something that's substantive and is something that you can use here as something that's going to help your life on the Faith and Freedom Show. The one thing I want to do before I go is talk about this one last thing about, I'm going to make one more mention about the least of these. And as Mark said, it is important for us to take care of the least of these to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to not find funding streams in order to further the nation's prosperity. So I'm going to play another segment of this song that I listened to today and I really like. And I want you to hear it out as we go to, just before we go to the break. And when I come back, I'm going to bring up to you guys what Mark was mentioning. We're going to talk about the social welfare states.
Depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, out in the cold, in exposure, and you sent me away. I was a stranger and I knocked at your door, but you didn't open. You told me to go away. I was sick, racked in pain upon my bed, and I begged and prayed and pleaded that you'd come, but you didn't. I was in prison. You'd come. I heard your programs on the radio and read your magazines, but you never came. Depart from me.
And what that is a song by Keith Green. He's an artist who died in the early 80s in a plane crash. The best ones always do. We don't know why that happens, but there's something about airplanes and musicians and gravity. I'm not really sure. It's kind of strange, but that's what happens. And so we did play something today, and I'm going to finish this up so you see where that story is going. And the theme there is, what are we doing today? Not just worrying about our cable TV, not just worrying about a healthcare benefit or a retirement benefit or the minimum wage or the increase of our military salaries or retirement salaries, or anything like that, but that is not the focus while we're here on this planet. We can't check out until it's time to check out. So, what do we do with those who are chronically ill and near the end of their life? I say, constitutionally, biblically, and right versus wrong, that the right thing to do and the correct thing to do and the just thing to do is to take care of those people in their old age. True religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans. Our job is, while we're here, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God, love our neighbor as ourselves.